I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about No Mean City, a campaign to highlight the things that make Indianapolis special. We'll discuss what the campaign focuses on and what it hopes to accomplish. My guests are Molly Chavers, Executive Director, and Marshawn Wally, Contributor. Please join the conversation. Call us toll-free at 866-476-3881. Email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the No Mean City initiative. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Molly Chavers, who is Indie Hub's executive director. We're going to talk about Indie Hub's role in No Mean City, and Marshawn Wally, who is one of the contributors, has other roles as well.
Yes.
That we will explore. I'd like to welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks
it's great
for having
to be
us.
Here.
It's
yeah.
Good to have both of you here. So why don't we start with something basic? And, you know, Molly, I'll start with you. Tell everyone what No Mean City is.
Sure. So No Mean City is a collaborative effort to tell the real stories of Indianapolis. We want to help people find themselves here. We want people who are anyone who's in the business of looking for a new home, whether that's an individual who lives here already or who is looking to move to Indianapolis because of a job or school. We want to make it easier for them to find their place here, their neighborhood, their community. But we also want to provide a tool, a great resource for those who are on the front lines, our realtors, our recruiters, our human resource professionals who are trying to help individuals every day to attract talent to our city, but also to help them find their third place, their outside place to Indianapolis.
So talk to me about how it came together.
Sure. It's really, as I mentioned, a collaborative effort that began in 2013 under the leadership of Mayor Ballard. At that time, they asked several of us, several organizations who are all in the business of promoting Indianapolis, how do we do a better job of selling our city, marketing Indianapolis to talent that we're trying to attract, but as well as the talent that already lives here, to get them to give them the tools and resources they need to stay in Indianapolis and Marion County. We also wanted this to be an effort, or I know that the former administration, as well as the current administration, Mayor Hogsett's administration, wants this to be an effort that helps us talk a little bit more appreciatively of our city's assets as opposed to what we don't have here. So we want to help really match the perception of Indianapolis with the amazing product that it has.
Marshawn, I know the sort of the tag for No Mean City is supposed to be real stories of what it means to call Indy home, a citizen's guide to community, culture, schools, and housing. What sort of stories will No Mean City be telling?
So it's really stories about everyday citizens and the places that make Indianapolis sticky for them, places that, make them think about their favorite coffee shop, their favorite neighborhood, their favorite restaurant, or just being really more of a producer in the city. I know I had an opportunity to write a story, and it was about working on an initiative to make people feel more comfortable about a certain section of the city. And so those kinds of stories where we get a chance to just let people from the outside looking in know what's going on here, or people who live here.
And I'm going to ask both of you this. Where was the perceived need here? What created the sense that we needed something like this, the city needed something? Molly?
Well, first and foremost, this is not just an Indianapolis thing. There are lots of other major cities around the country, around the world, that are competing for global talent and are using technology to tell the story of their city. So we know every day Indianapolis is competing not only with Austin and Denver and Columbus, Ohio, but we're competing with countries abroad, too, to keep great talent in our state, in our city, but also to attract new talent to our community. Indianapolis is a growing city. We want to be we've always aspired to be the best of class in everything that we do. And I think Nomean City has done a great job of working to differentiate Indianapolis as a place to live from other areas, from other places.
Marshawn, where did the title come from, Nomean City?
So the title Nomean City, I believe, comes from a mayor who at one point claimed that Indianapolis was no mean city or no average city. It also has a reference, a biblical reference in the Bible as well, where it's basically saying we're not your average city. We're better.
Yeah. So the obvious reference here is mean is meaning half above or half below. It's sort of the mathematical term. In the context in which we have been living, though, it can have a different meaning as well. The city took, and we've had representatives from the Chamber of Commerce and other folks come in and talk about the hit the city's image took with the whole RFRA episode, Religious Freedom Restoration Act episode. Was there a plan to use this title to suggest that Indianapolis also is a welcoming city?
Molly. That's a great, great question, one we get all the time. So this, as I mentioned, began well before the RFRA legislation took place, but it certainly it has a double meaning. I mean, we aren't a mean city. We do, I think, have something unique here in that we're very open and welcoming and we embrace. And the Indy Welcomes All campaign that was a reaction to the RFRA legislation being signed certainly provided that sort of message that we were trying to show about our city. But again, No Mean City was not reactionary. We were already working on this effort. But the collaborative groups, the collaboration of groups all really did come together very quickly to provide a response and did indeed try to show the world that Indy welcomes all.
So that the controversy did not create the
Absolutely
initiative,
not.
But it lent a sense of urgency to the fact that we needed to get the story out there.
Absolutely. And it still does. I think the tools that we are providing, our online tools, nomeancity.com, the publication that will be published two times a year, that's a compilation of the stories you'll find on No Mean City, the recruiters' guides that we have, all of these tools really do help set the record straight about our city as well. I think if someone were to, you know, have this impression that Indianapolis is characterized by what happened in spring of 2015, if they were to visit this site and see the diversity of voices and lifestyles and perspectives that are real residents talking about their lives in Indianapolis, it certainly combats that otherwise unfortunate impression of our city.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the No Mean City Initiative, which attempts to tell stories about Indianapolis and Indiana to not just residents here, but people who might be thinking about living here or doing business or just visiting. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So, Marshawn, tell me how this is going to work now. I mean, Molly's made reference to the fact that there's a biannual publication, mm-hmm. and that there is going to be a website, that right. URL, and feel free to drop the URL again if yep. you would like to. But how often is it going to be updated? Who does the work? How do you get the story ideas, all of that stuff?
So what I can tell you as a contributor, I was asked, and this was what was really most exciting about me about this initiative was, you know, you're never asked to get a chance to talk about your city. And I was really excited to do that. I think we've had about 40 contributors thus far, write about 70 stories ranging from all sorts of things. I wrote about a happy hour. There's been a lot of talk about neighborhoods and about schools. But basically, there's a website, nomeancity.com, and you have the opportunity to go on the website and interact with quizzes and other interactive tools that kind of help you understand, you know, what's your neighborhood profile, what's the best neighborhood for you. You get access to information about cool things happening in the city, new neighborhoods, new restaurants. Restaurants in places that locals go to, as opposed to maybe national restaurants that you might see. So it's a system that is continuing to grow and evolve and develop. And right now it lives online. There's also a social media, a Facebook page and a Twitter account. And it's really pretty accessible.
How often will it be updated, Molly?
It's being updated almost every day. We have new stories coming online. We've at least 8 stories that go online a month, but then we also do tweaks to from the social media perspective. We're pushing out new material. We have a variety of videos right now too that are beautifully done. Has a documentary feel to some of them. Some are whimsical in nature. Others are very informative. We also have seen a great utility for the people that we are profiling. So, for instance, Oaks Academy, a local school, yeah, as you know, was we did a video for the launch of Nomean City. It's one of our first videos that was done, and they're able to use that particular video in their marketing materials. St. Richard's School, CFI, the Heron High School, all of these schools that we're featuring are able to repurpose the content that we've put out there. And that's just one segment. That's one industry. You also have the Garfield Eatery, or the GARF, in the southern part of Marion County. I think was overwhelmed one day when that video or that story went online, that story about their eatery. They said, oh, my goodness, can you please give us a heads up next time you post something about us? Because we're going water.
Yeah, let us staff up a little bit here so that we're ready for it. Where do you find, you say you've got 40 contributors, where do you find them?
We have pulled from a vast variety of contributors that are already contributing to Pattern Magazine and Sky Blue Window. So people that have been in Indianapolis telling stories already, to people, I think, Marshawn, even though you regularly contribute to different things, you're also telling this particular story about a happy hour on Georgia Street that's working with Downtown Indy and the Panhellenic Association. It gives we're really reaching far and casting a very wide net to ensure that we're getting a lot of different voices telling stories.
And do you have parameters or guidelines for the kinds of stories that you want rather than, you know, I'm trying to think of something that would be outlandish, but my imagination is failing at the moment.
Okay.
Do you have guidelines, though?
We definitely have an editorial guide. We have a managing editor who is working on making sure that those stories are all not from the same voice, but told in a way that is representative and inclusive of our city.
And the contributors, do they volunteer the stories, or are you paying people for their work?
A mix of both.
Yeah. Okay. How large is the budget for this thing? Because it's not, I know a little bit about this. And the next question, obviously, which we may not be able to get to before the break, will be where does the money come from? But how large is the budget?
Well, we started off with a budget. We've had we've been very proud that to date we've had over all contributing sources have been philanthropic in nature. So there's been no commercial or for-profit support to date. But with, I guess, the budget for marketing ranges between, for this year, about
$200,000. $200,000, and that includes paying, presumably, for your editor. And then some of the contributors' fees, did you have to pay anything for the development of the website?
Everything, yes. So it's, yes, all in. We are managing, continuing to update the website, continuing to push out this information to individuals, the marketing kind of overall outside of Indiana as well. We're we're going much bigger and broader than just Indiana.
Where else are you pushing it out?
Currently, it's a viral, we're relying heavily on our social and investing in social and digital marketing. But we also are working on reach out to magazines and online editors or online contributors opportunities throughout the country.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about the No Mean City Initiative. It is a campaign to remind people of the things that make Indianapolis special. My guests are Molly Chavers, who is the Indy Hub Executive Director, and Marshawn Wally, who is one of the contributors. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the No Mean City Initiative. It's a campaign to tell real stories of what it means to call Indy home. It's a citizen's guide to community, culture, schools, and housing. My guests are Molly Chavers, who is Indy Hub's executive director. They are one of the organizations that are participating in the initiative, and Marshawn Wally, who is one of the contributors. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Tim has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Tim, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to find out from your guest the initiative. I understand, but it seems more like a initiative for other cities and how outsiders view Indy. But from an inside view, I wonder how this. It seems I'm old enough to remember the North Side, Broad Ripple, where minorities didn't seem to be welcome. There was a big thing about that back in the 90s, and now it's more of a economic thing. I live in Fountain Square. The stores and restaurants, they don't say they're more you're tolerated there, but it's more of an inclusive thing that the new people are moving in. I guess they call that gentrification or whatever. But the new people are welcome, but the people who live there are seeing less and less for them. The prices are higher. You're not necessarily welcome. It's a more younger crowd. But why don't you take care of home first? Why don't you, instead of sweeping the people who live there away, why aren't there anything to welcome everybody, just not the people who can afford it? Housing, we're being put out of our housing. If we can't move on, if we're not welcome in Carmel, and we're not necessarily, and we're not welcome in the North Side, where are we supposed to go?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Tim. We'll try to get an answer for you.
So, one of the other hats that I wear, other than contributor, is president of the Exchange at the Indianapolis Urban League, and the issue of gentrification is something that we have been focused on and talking about quite a bit. One of the reasons why I chose to be a contributor to No Mean City is I wanted the opportunity to talk about not only the challenges that the community is facing, but how people are banding together to try to address those issues. And I know with gentrification, it's a situation where I'm mostly concerned about anxiety around changing neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We know that neighborhoods have to change. In fact, we want our neighborhoods to improve. We don't want the displacement, which is really what we mean, I think, when we're talking about gentrification. But at the same time, we also want to appreciate, if a park was once a park and now it's a dog park, how does that impact the residents that were formerly there? And what does that mean to the new people that moved in who wanted that amenity? And so managing that is part of, talking to each other and having a dialogue. And what I'm excited about with No Mean City is the opportunity to talk about those stories and how people I mentioned earlier are being producers as opposed to just consumers. So in Indianapolis, you have the opportunity to have an impact on Broad Ripple or having a positive impact on Fountain Square and continue to have an impact as these neighborhoods are evolving.
Is it designed? I'm going to take Tim's question in a couple of directions. One, is it designed, Molly, so that it will be useful to people who already live here? Because that was part of it. Why are we focusing all of this attention on people who don't live here yet? Why don't we take care of our own folks first? Is it a resource for folks who live here as well?
Absolutely. In fact, it was very important to us when we were developing this site that the first audience that we hope will use this and find utility from this are those, you know, people like me who live here, who have a child who's trying to navigate the school system. How do I know what's the right school for my child? How do I know what the right neighborhood is for my family to live in and to grow into? So I like to think of nomeancity.com as a primer, as a platform full of primers. It talks about different neighborhoods, works to distinguish the unique amenities between one versus the other, and also talks that our school primer in particular is very helpful for parents. And we'll continue to add resources to this, but we have links off to not only to schools, all different types of schools, but then also a guide to helping you understand the difference between a charter school, a magnet or a public school, a private school, and what resources are available to you if you want to send your child to private school or send your child to magnet school.
And then the second part of this question is, you know, no community is a paradise. Every community's got problems. And, you know, for example, WFYI's new staff has done some superb reporting on the crime problems in certain parts of this city. We've had Chief Riggs on here talking about, you know, his approach to attacking the problem holistically. Are we going to tell stories in this about those problems and how the city is trying to deal with them? Marshawn, I'm going to throw that one to you because you're looking at me.
Yeah, so one of the stories, and this was actually my story, and I think it actually speaks to Tim's concern, was my story was about how black young professionals met with Downtown Indy and worked with them to create a more culturally sensitive or maybe even more culturally relevant experience on Georgia Street. And you know, it's you're not, you know, leading a sit-in, you're not changing the world, but it's just a small example of how in this city people can come together, they can identify a problem, they can reach out to a civic institution, and they can have an impact through dialogue. And so from the primer perspective, you have the opportunity to get access to the information. But yeah, there are going to be stories about that. At least those are the stories that I've been sharing.
We are talking about the No Mean City Initiative here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Hi. I had a question regarding Indiana's efforts to recruit global talent. Could you please explain those efforts and maybe juxtapose that with Mike Pence's efforts to block Syrian refugees from Indiana and Republicans' overall efforts to keep Hispanics out of the country?
Thanks very much for the call and the question. I'm going to throw that one to Molly. Thanks again,
sure.
Susan.
Sure, Susan. Thanks for the question. So we have, early on when we started this effort, we reached out to recruiters and those in some of our companies that are working to recruit talent from all across the world to see what they needed. So when I'm talking about recruiting talent, No Mean City isn't necessarily working specifically on that effort, but we are working to help supply a tool to those who are.
Well, and I probably should emphasize, or I should ask the question first, this is not a partisan campaign of one way or another, right?
Absolutely.
Because it sounds like it started under a Republican mayor, is continuing under a Democratic mayor.
Right.
Do you deal with the politics of the state at all on the site? Or if we had something like RFRA pop up again, would there be stories or posts about that?
I think what we would do if there was let's hope that there's never another RFRA situation again. But should there be, we would be working to showcase what this city really has to offer for everyone, as opposed to some of the legislation that might block or prohibit people from being here. So we are a nonpartisan effort, exactly like you said. And just to also be clear, this effort was brought to our attention by Mayor Ballard and by Mayor Ballard's team, and was kind of handed over to those organizations that is a primary or secondary role. We have an obligation or a mission of promoting our city. So it was intentionally put outside of government for a variety of reasons, but one is because we wanted this to withstand any change in administration. It would have a little bit more nimbleness and ability to be a little more responsive if needed. It has, with that being said, it has been embraced by the Hogsett administration. They're excited because part of what Mayor Hogsett feels very important is to make sure that all neighborhoods are strong and all citizens of Indianapolis have a chance to find success in this city.
Well, and I want to pick up on the other part of Susan's question, though. Mm-hmm. When there are, you know, political debates or whatever that send a signal that certain people aren't welcome, mm-hmm. does that make, and to some degree that was Tim's question, yeah, too, sure. I think in some ways, does that make the task of what you're trying to do with No Mean City that much more difficult? It seems like you're having to fight through an awful lot of what we call in our business earned media at that point.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, so one of the other stories that I just got an opportunity to write about was the Asian Fest, which is sponsored by the Asian American Alliance. And I think related to Susan's question about like talent and global talent, we are talking about the folks that are already here, that are already making Indianapolis mm-hmm. their home, calling it their home. There's another story on there about the Burmese community and how they found Indianapolis. And I anticipate another story on the international marketplace. And I'm supposed to write
it's
about
true.
That.
Yes.
So there's a lot of diversity. I mean, if you look at Indianapolis's diversity index, we're about 40% diverse. The country's around 23, 24. So we're actually more representative of diversity than the entire country. And I think this opportunity with No Mean City allows us to speak to that, because it's not something that we really talk about really as a strength. And so I'm appreciative of the opportunity to tell those stories in an authentic way.
We said before the break that the budget all in was about $200,000. Right.
For the marketing side this year,
yeah. So all overall, what's the total annual budget likely to be for doing this?
Well, so we received two significant grants, one from the Lilly Endowment and one from Wells Fargo Foundation 2 years ago. We've also had some support from MIBOR and a variety of other organizations that are working. Central Indiana Community Foundation has been a huge contributor, Indy Chamber. So over the course of 4 years, we've just been under $1 million. But that includes not only development of the website, paying contributors, marketing, getting the word out in a variety of ways. But this has been over a 4.5-year budget to get to success. The second round that we hope will hopefully begin to come in will be what we hope from the corporate community that sees value and sees this as a tool for them to use in the future.
Is that enough? I mean, I know economists are warning us right now that there is a coming worldwide labor shortage that will hit here about 2030, so about 14 years from now. Probably not wrong on the math, because everybody who's in the labor force is alive right now, so they can figure that out with some precision. And at least everything that I have seen in regard to that indicates the struggle to attract talent, to attract capable workers to communities and the industries that sustain them, is going to be almost Darwinian in nature. So it sounds like other communities have been doing things like this. Presumably there are other communities that are spending more money than we are. Is this enough money to get the job done, Molly?
We're trying to be nimble. We're trying to utilize social media has changed everything, as you know. Mm-hmm. So we're able to spread the word a little more efficiently. We have incredible contributors that are not only providing their talents, sometimes for compensation, other times through their the generosity of their own hearts. We have some great groups that have stepped up to the plate to say, hey, we want to make a difference. We want to help sell the publication. So Print Text, which is a local periodical store in the Sobro area, is helping us sell those periodicals. So we really are utilizing everyone that we can and every, I guess, piece of technology that we can to get the word out. As I mentioned, we do think that this is a great tool for realtors, for recruiters, for others, and we anticipate and we hope that the investments in the future will come from the corporate community as well as the philanthropic community.
We are talking about No Mean City. It's an initiative that is designed to tell stories about Indianapolis that reveal the many things that the city has to offer. If you would like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Jane has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Jane, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
It's exciting to hear about the good things that we'll be reading about Indianapolis. I was wondering two things. How much vetting was done on the name of that website? Because we all know that we're having lots of problems with guns and violence in this city, and it's known all over the country. So I think the term right now is unfortunate, but you'll fill me in about the vetting that was done. Secondly, we had a great song years ago by Sandy Patty called Indianapolis Indeed. Very exciting and energetic city song. Could have been our handle, like New York and Chicago have their great song. So I'll take it off the air and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks much for the call, Jane. So the vetting, we talked a little bit about this, but sure. How many people had to sign off on No Mean City?
Quite a few. but as Marshawn mentioned, it's rooted in history. It's actually on the cornerstone of Old City Hall, where Mayor Charles Buchwalter in 1909 described Indianapolis as, or actually had said, I myself am a citizen of no mean city, no average city. When we put it in that context and we start telling the stories, through this site, we have on the homepage, right at the top, we have an explanation of where No Mean City has come from. It was certainly something that we took into great consideration, but when we talk about what are the kind of trends today, we don't want a hard sell. I mean, any millennial, any baby boomer, it doesn't matter what generation you're part of, you don't want to be sold to. You don't want someone to say, hey, you need to live in Indy. But from my perspective with Indy Hub and the work that we've done in working with 20 and 30 somethings here, they really do value someone and an initiative that appreciates their intelligence. So we wanted to make this smart and sophisticated, knowledgeable and helpful to the consumer.
The other part of Jane's question was about the guns and the violence. Is that, and she's right, that is an unfortunate part of life in our city right now. How would, for example, you deal with doing a story like that?
So one of the stories on there is about Light of the World Christian Church and how they're addressing homelessness. And one of the things I can appreciate about our city is the fact that when we're dealing with the societal ills like homelessness, gun violence, No Mean City is an opportunity. It's a platform to talk about how we are being producers and trying to address those issues as a city.
We are talking about the No Mean City Initiative. It's an initiative to tell the story of Indianapolis to people who both live here and those who might consider living here or visiting here. My guests are Molly Chavers, she is Indy Hub's Executive Director, and Marshawn Wally, who is a contributor. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the No Mean City Initiative. That's an initiative designed to tell real stories of what it means to call Indianapolis home. It's a citizen's guide to community culture, schools, and housing. My guests are Molly Chavers. She is IndyHub's executive director. IndyHub is one of the prime drivers behind the initiative, and Marshawn Wally, who is a contributor. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what Margaret has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And once again, terrific to hear this open discussion about this issue. Very quickly, I was born and grew up on the north side of Indianapolis, 33rd and Carrollton, then 40th and Washington Boulevard, and took the bus as far back as 1952, the 17 bus, up and down College to Broad Ripple and downtown. Now, and Mom and Dad helped start Meridian and Kessler Neighborhood Association that was modeled after Butler Tarkington back in the 60s. And I'm giving you that because I have this unusual perspective now at age 66. First of all, I want to commend the efforts to provide more positive, direct information to the general public, in particular prospective home buyers. When I came back to Indiana 20 years ago after 20 years in Washington, D.C., working for the state of Vermont, or working with the state of Vermont, where information was much more available, whether it was good or bad, I was dumbfounded to find it so hard that all the realtors would provide information about Carmel and Hamilton County, but none, certainly not positive, about Northside Indianapolis. Fast forward to this current time, and I do have a question. Within the last 3 or 4 years, when there was the terrible gun situation in Broad Ripple, two 4th of Julys ago now, it was all over the paper. However, when there was a gun situation the year before that, where it was just the white guys primarily from Butler University, there was no press. And the Village Association, of course, worked to suppress that. And my question is, and then as I look at this new publication about Midtown Indianapolis, in one way it's so wonderful to see because this part of the city does have many positive things. It very clearly is targeted to not regular people and certainly not, as the gentleman, I believe it was your first caller, it is not targeted to anybody who is not, the way I read it, not targeted to anybody other than white, middle-class, 40-somethings at this stage. School 84, which went to Center for Inquiry, was subject front page story of the Star a couple of days ago, all white or virtually all white once again. Butler University stole School 86. I and several of us who had grown up in the neighborhood brought our kids back 20 years ago, went to 86, which was naturally integrated, had more than seven languages spoken in 98-99, and the whole powers that be in Indianapolis, many of whom are still very much operating in the shadows, stole School 86 from us, saying that School 43 would serve it. School 43, new building, but fallen back into a chaotic situation where kids transfer out of it all the time. And School 84, which was also supposed to be a substitute, is now back to all white, virtually all white. So my question is, when, and I can say a whole lot more about UNIGOV, yeah. I said it before on the show, my question is, when and will we ever, as a city, I do have hope with Joe Hogsett, address head-on that racism here is still very much alive, and classism is still very much alive, and the press is will cover the story when it's black people who are involved with the guns, but they do not address it when it's white people who are doing the drugs, middle class, upper middle class, doing the drugs and involved with guns. So that's my question. When will that get addressed by the media and the powers that be head on, that there is a discrepancy? White, you know, the easy way to say it is that white collar crime is simply not addressed. I have a
Margaret, let me step in and let okay. give them a chance, because you sure. got the question, and it's an important question.
It
I want
is,
us
thank
to have
you, Mr. Cole,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, my name is John. Please
yes,
call
John.
Me John.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call and okay. the question, Margaret.
Thank you. Bless you all.
So, and again, one of the other hats I wear is president of the exchange at the Indianapolis Urban League. The Indianapolis Urban League is a civil rights organization focused on a lot of the issues that the caller just referenced. With respect to No Mean City, I felt as a community leader that it was important for me as an African-American male to speak to the opportunities in the city. I want more African-Americans to come to the city. I want more diversity. I want more Hispanic. I write in other forms about the diversity in the city. And I also have to speak to the challenges, a lot of the challenges that the caller referenced. I appreciate the fact that we're working. We're a community that is attempting to wrestle with these issues, from the education issues where we're attempting to be innovative, to the crime issues where we're using data-driven policies. I know Troy Riggs and our previous chief police did a lot of work with Washington, D.C., leading those efforts. There's reasons why we were not Ferguson when the non-indictments happened. There's a race and cultural relationships leadership network, which I participate in. There's a lot of different ways that the city is trying to wrestle with, the issues of that all cities and the country really is wrestling with respect to race and inequities. But with No Mean City, I think we have the opportunity to talk about how we are fighting those issues, taking those issues head on, mm-hmm. how we are trying to address some of the inequities. I remember when Officer Wren was murdered. Mm-hmm. That was a catalyst. In fact, Molly came yeah. to a meeting mm-hmm. where I said, you know, we needed to do something. And that's when young professionals really started getting engaged in our community, which led to the happy hour story with downtown Indy. So I think for us with the Urban League, we can't just see the problems. We are compelled to do something about it. And with No Mean City, it's an opportunity to tell the stories to other black people or other white people or other people who are interested in doing something about a lot of the problems that the caller raised, that this is a place where you'll find people who want to help, who want to join you.
Molly.
I would just add, Marshawn's right, the minute that she asked that question specific to when Officer Wren was killed, it made me think of Marshawn's leadership at that time, that much needed leadership, mm-hmm. that he took a big stand, pulled a lot of us together. And I don't want to say this is a new generation that cares more deeply, because I don't necessarily think that's true. I do think we care so deeply that we are compelled to act and compelled to demand that the contributors of No Mean City aren't all coming from this from one voice or one color of skin. And that, in fact, we want to make sure that it is a broad, diverse group of people that are contributing to this. Because the stories that our city has to tell is not just from one narrative. It's not just Meridian Kessler or Broad Ripple or Butler Tarkington. It's Fountain Square and Garfield Park and Pike and name it.
Meadows.
Thank you.
Yeah.
West Side, Speedway. We've got Martindale Brightwood as and so many other neighborhoods that have such a deep historical significance to our city. And whether they're in a place of great opportunity currently, or they're on the rise and they're in the mix of being a great new neighborhood, we need to help tell their stories, everyone's stories.
How much of this is also about kind of redressing a balance? Because, you know, it's no great secret that part of the strategy to Indianapolis's revival, the transformation from, you know, Naptown to what it is now, was a real focus on revitalizing downtown Indy and the very center of the metropolitan area. For years, while that was going on, neighborhoods complained, what about us? You know, when is it our turn? When is it our turn? And what I hear the two of you talking about an awful lot, you're talking an awful lot about neighborhoods, not so much about the downtown. Is the perception here that pretty much, you know, the work for the downtown is done and we need to move on, or what? Molly, you shook your head at me, but that does not work on radio.
No, I think that you can't take the foot off of the gas of downtown. Marshawn can speak to his work with his former employer at Visit Indy, which is a huge contributor to this effort. Downtown helps all of Marion County, all of the region for that matter. However, if you look at a census tract from 2003 to 2013, you'll see how poverty has spread out and created a donut around downtown. And that is something that I know, you know, the Hogsett administration is trying to address, but all of us are trying to address in a way of whether we're contributing through telling the stories of the areas and encouraging home ownership or people living in those areas, or and I say people living just more broadly. Renting is great too, but just staying here, being here, connecting here, it's important. We need more citizens who are willing to take action and be part of their neighborhoods and serve in a leadership role.
So downtown, I mean, it generates 40% of the state of Indiana's economic output. Mm-hmm. So it is always going to be critical. But I think Mayor Hogsett talks about the corollary to
you can't be a suburb of nothing.
Nothing. You can't be a suburb of nothing. And so,
which was a Bill Hudnut.
With the Bill Hudnut. Yeah, there you go. So with No Mean City, we have the opportunity to tell the story about Traders Point or the International Marketplace, which is Pike Township. Or we can talk about the huge win that happened with the Save-A-Lot when it went into Avondale Meadows and all the work that's been going on in that area with Warren Buffett investing in that area. So there's opportunities to talk about how the city is progressing and trying to move forward, even as we recognize there are challenges.
And in terms of I think the issue that Tim was raising, and a lot of our callers today, the listeners have been raising, is the target here generational as well, the millennials? I mean, one of the things that hit me is how Molly at first was talking about getting people to own and then realized a lot of millennials,
they don't want to own.
They don't want to own. That's not their life plan, and all of that. Is some of this shifting so that you're dealing with the issues that these rising generations care about?
When we started this effort, we talked about what is the demographic that we're trying to reach. And part of the reason why Indy Hub has played a lead role in this is because one of the big pipelines of people that we want to get here and to stay here are millennials, are 20 and 30-somethings. However, we took the approach of looking at the psychographic of individuals as opposed to this broader like age group. So we're looking at people who are just they love downtown, so the authentic urbanites, the people that are the homecomers, people who grew up in Indiana, maybe Indianapolis left for something better on the other side of the state lines and have decided to come back. We have an insurgence of individuals involved in the tech community. That's another audience that we're looking at. And it doesn't matter what age any of these folks are. It's much more targeted towards the psyche of the person, that what really matters to them. Baby boomers and millennials are a lot more alike today, if you can imagine, than those like me and the Gen X generation, that baby boomers and the millennials are also, they're all looking for that downtown walkability, or that walkability towards that, I guess, high opportunity towards amenities. They don't want a big backyard necessarily. So, and I'm overgeneralizing right now, but that's a trend that we've seen, not just locally, but nationally.
And do you have any idea, I mean, how long has the site been live, and what kind of traffic are you getting to it?
We launched on February 25th officially. And to date, since the end of the quarter, we've had about almost 40,000 unique users. So lots of sessions, even more sessions than users. So we've had people, the top states that we're drawing from the users, in addition to Indiana, include Illinois and California, specifically the LA area.
Okay, so folks from California. And again, if people want to visit the site,
nomeancity.com.
No Mean City. And Marshawn, you've made reference to several stories that you have done already for it. If there's one you would really like people to take a look at that you think is important, which story would that be?
I think that's the one that speaks to our, like, the more broadly to the conversation, is actually the one that's about to come out, which would be on Asian Fest.
Okay.
And the Asian American Alliance. And it's really a story about a segment of the community that's coming together, that's looking aspirationally at the second generation and how they hope to get that second generation more presence, more civically engaged, and more, just involved politically, civically, just engaged in the community. And they believe that they're going to have an impact and be a part of the future of the city. And I think that's what excites me about this particular effort.
And you say it's just about ready to go live.
It's about ready to go live. It's submitted.
I'm sure in the next week or so it'll be out.
Okay. Is there a mechanism so that that people get alerts when something's new is put up on the site?
Or? We are actively pushing those out on Facebook, No Mean City, as well as Twitter and Instagram. But we do have a newsletter people can sign up for. We'll start newsletters going out in the next couple of, probably the next month and a month and a half, that will push out new content. So you can sign up at nomeancity.com for that. And then there's also an info@nomeancity.com if people are interested in seeing stories that they have in mind or wanting to contribute. They can submit their interest there.
Okay, well, that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Molly Chavers, who's the executive director of Indie Hub, and Marshawn Wally, who is one of the contributors to No Mean City. I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.